break open doors, leading you down into my core, where I become so numb. Without a soul, my spirit sleeping somewhere cold, until you find it there and make it back home.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment, like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
For the first time, this is Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Sunday, February 12th, 2012, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. Took a little time to get the hamster in the wheel there to fire up the engine and get the technology going, but that's okay. We're here nonetheless, right? We are undaunted. So, first of all, thank you for listening today, and it's always a pleasure, and it's an honor. This broadcast is really kind of cathartic. You can probably imagine if you carry around the kind of information that I do, And if you listen to this network and this broadcast, you know what I mean. Sometimes it's an unwieldy database of information to try to reconcile and deal with. And so to have a venue to be able to, I don't know, it's kind of like Catholic confessional or something, you know, it's cathartic in the sense that to have a place that you can just let that out a little bit and kind of depressurize is a good thing, I think. So a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the defense budget cuts talk. I believe that was posted in the archive. If it's not, it should be. I'll check on that. There were, I think, probably almost 24 links that I stuck in there, or at least 12, if memory serves, of articles from major news publications, Washington Post, USA Today, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times. And the reason that I mentioned that is because, I mean, this is big talk. Why all of a sudden did we hear about the retraction or the reduction of the military budget when in recent years we've heard nothing but the expansion and proliferation of the military efforts? Why this seeming turnabout, this about face, this 180? Why now? It's really not. It's nothing of the sort. And it's completely in line with what I mentioned, which is particularly the initiative referred to as Army 21 or Army After Next, which is representative of all of the branches of service. But for the last couple of decades, particularly since about 1997, 96, 97, we've seen this invigorated effort to pare down force size, to leverage technology, and to really create this highly efficient, tightly knit, militarized apparatchik that doesn't just represent the military, isn't represented by armed forces exclusively. We've seen, for example, with the recent announcement of DHS basically taking over police authority and duties and responsibilities all the way down to a local level, which is no surprise. I mean, we have known that's what's coming since the announcement of, you know, Tom Ridge appointed as Secretary of Homeland Security when George Bush did that couple of weeks after September 11, 2001. Remember back in October of 2001 when Tom Ridge was suddenly appointed Secretary of Homeland Security, and everybody was saying, what is Homeland Security? This is common vernacular today, unfortunately. The Heimatland, what is that? That's a concept that was anathema not long ago. And it's a concept that's, you know, becoming more and more familiar, unfortunately, to Americans and folks abroad, more common in its connection to America, which is very unfortunate to folks abroad too. But what is this? What is this, and where did this all come from, and why? You know, like I said, back in 2001, we saw Tom Ridge appointed deputy or Secretary of Homeland Security. And by the way, one of my favorite things to point to, there's so much circumstantial and conjectural evidence that's pointed to for September 11th. I think it's nonsense. I wouldn't, the things that anesthetize people to the real problem contribute to the problem, and the conjectural and circumstantial evidence is. Do that. It just plays into that synthesis that is the end result of the Hegelian dialectic. that dialectical conflict model. By the way, Hegel was not an advocate of the Hegelian dialectic, just like Calvin wasn't a Calvinist. It's always that case, you know. You have these people that come along after the fact and take these ideas and synthesize them, pun intended, and take advantage of something like that. Anyway, the point here is, getting back to, I guess, that tangent, my favorite piece of evidence to point to of conspiracy and malfeasance with regard to September 11th, and really what's happened subsequently, is the RAND report, the monograph, titled Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, which you can find on Amazon.com, by the way, and you can find on Amazon.com that it was published several months before September 11th, 2001. At least April, I think April 2001 is the publication date that Amazon carries. Haven't checked lately, but that's in the archives from years and years ago of Road Warrior Radio on RepublicBroadcasting.org. You can search for yourself and find it. Because I've mentioned Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, published by RAND Corporation in 2001, spring of 2001, several times, as a smoking gun or a harbinger of what was to come and what has in fact happened. So you look at that document published before September 11th, which was a convenient crisis. Remember what Rahm Emanuel said, you never let those opportunities go to waste. And it's true. That is the Fabian model. You go slowly and incrementally, and every time you have a moment like that or a crisis, you strike hard and unequivocally, and you take ground, and you never give ground. You just keep taking ground. It's the Fabian model. It's what they've been doing. For more evidence of that, look at Carol Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment, which again on Amazon, you can find the product description I mention all the time, that it says right on Amazon, Carol Quigley writes about how these guys collaborated in secret to conquer the world by causing wars and, you know, destroying economies in doing so. And there it is, Professor Carol Quigley, who wrote in his own words, hey, I've studied their documents. In fact, I had an opportunity for a couple of years to hang out in the Rockefeller's basement, so to speak, and look over the family documents. And this stuff is, well, this is world history. This is how history really happened. Here it is, folks. Here is what really happened. So in conjunction with that, like I said, Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security, published by RAND in 2001 spring, is really probably the best smoking gun, in my opinion, of malfeasance and conspiracy, because it's definitive and conclusive. This was planned, which is why when you have the opportunity, when the opportunity arose in September of 2001, how in the world do you mobilize resources and all of this? I mean, it's government. What's the big joke about government? You know, it moves at a snail's pace. You know, if you're trying to get something productive done, forget it. It's government. It's not going to happen in any kind of a timely manner. But somehow there's this incident that was not a little thing by any means. I understand. I'm not trying to trivialize or minimize the tragedy and the horror and the sadness and the loss of lives, not at all, not at all. What I'm saying is, in response to that, how does this seemingly static body, this monolith, how does it mobilize resources and action with lightning speed? How does it do that? Tom Ridge, appointed Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, just weeks after the incident. And suddenly this infrastructure is created and teams are assembled and agencies are created and there's a restructuring of government that coincides with the continuity of government initiative going back several decades before that. And you can look that up on YouTube and in congressional testimony and Congressional Research Service reports for yourself. But how did this happen? And it's a rhetorical question, obviously. But as I said, preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security is proof positive that, yes, Virginia, there was a conspiracy beforehand, meaning there were some folks that planned in secret or clandestine meetings, essentially, and then eventually kind of leaked that stuff out to the public over time so that you could acclimate and anesthetize people to it, that they had planned to do these things. And so is there ample evidence of that course over the last 10 years? Absolutely there is. Again, it's a rhetorical question. And shortly before September 11, 2001, there was a major uptick in this Army After Next or Army 21 initiative, which I talked about 2 weeks ago. And we've seen that start to play out too. One of my favorite documents that I included in the January 29th archive is United States Army 2004 Transformation Roadmap. And the link that I included in October 15, 2008 broadcast that I mentioned in that show also, I mentioned the October 15, 2008 broadcast 2 weeks ago on January 29th. The link to the 2004 U.S. Army Transformation Roadmap, it's actually titled United States Army 2004 Transformation Roadmap. The link from the October 15, 2008 broadcast that was an army.mil link is strangely absent. Maybe, I don't know, the Army didn't pay their internet bill or something, and so that link had to get turned off. That's, tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But seriously, that link disappeared. There is another link, however, I included in the January 29th archive. It should still be good for how long, who knows. And it comes from one of my other favorite resources, which is a .mil as well, the DTIC, the Defense Technical Information Center. And I mention those reports all the time. If you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that I've mentioned the DTIC frequently. It's a clearinghouse for military documents. Go over to DTIC.mil and just kind of poke around and see what kind of fun stuff you can find there. But January 29th archive of this year includes a working link to the United States Army 2004 Army Transformation Roadmap. And that document, I want to come back to this because I don't think I emphasized it enough in that broadcast 2 weeks ago. That document tells you everything you need to know as far as how this game is being played. And again, this is something that was kind of a check-in. This was a performance report, if you will, on the initiative that I was talking about, the Army After Next or Army 21 initiative, which is they're synonymous. So this is a checkup or a progress report, really is what it is. 2004 Army Transformation Roadmap, a campaign quality Army with joint and expeditionary capabilities was the title and subtitle of it. But this was a performance report. How are we doing so far? We're checking in to see how this has been going. I'll tell you what, this thing has kicked into such high gear. Think about what's going on. I mean, you have the creation of PMCs as a result of the Army After Next or Army 21 initiative. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Blackwaters and our own Backup Training LLC that grew out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and so many of the other PMCs, private military contractors, that have arisen in the last decade or so that have just kind of sprung out of nowhere. I mean, obviously the bigger ones have reinvigorated and improved and expanded activities over the last decade as well, but these others that just seem to have sprung out of nowhere, how did they know? How did Eric Prince know that the PMC business was going to be lucrative as it is? And getting himself wired in with special forces and the intelligence community, really at this point, there's very little, if any, separation between JSOC and the Blackwaters and the CIAs of the world. Very, very little separation, if any. It's really kind of one organization. And the reason this is happening is because it was planned that way. And if you look at the Army Transformation Roadmap, 2004 Army Transformation Roadmap, July 2004 was published. Campaign Quality Army with Joint and Expeditionary Capabilities. It literally talks about this stuff. I'm going to dig into this a little bit as we go through this broadcast. I'm going to focus on that document, and I hope that you'll download a copy of it for yourself. This is a military document. You can download it from a .mil site. Right now, this is not conspiracy in the conventional sense of the term or the pejorative sense of the term, meaning this is not something that some goofball put together somewhere. You know, no one can say, well, you know, some guy in a log cabin with no power in the backwoods of Montana put this report together because he's crazy. Ted Kaczynski knew exactly what he was talking about. He wasn't crazy, and he was absolutely right. And his concern with industrialization is playing out to full fruition because it was planned that way as well. His manifesto was a warning, and his methods were, I don't think, the best way to go about trying to get his message across, but he was trying to target the folks that could do something about it and should have known better. That was the whole point. You guys know what you're doing, especially the academics that he was calling out, and so they should have known better, and they should have been able to do something about it. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But anyway, that's beside the point. His methods were harmful, and that's unfortunate. The message, however, I think was on target. But anyway, this is not that kind of a thing. There's no issue here as far as that is concerned. This is not conspiracy in the pejorative sense. This is a military document. United States Army, 2004 Army Transformation Roadmap, published by the Army, July 2004. And it explains exactly, like I said, it's a progress report signed by Peter Shoemaker, United States Army Chief of Staff, and R.L. Brownlee, the Acting Secretary of the Army, and it was originally available on army.mil, may still be, I don't know where. But, you know, this is a DOD document. So I'm going to focus on this a little bit during this broadcast because as I concluded the last broadcast in regard to this information or with regard to this information, I don't feel like I really stressed what is in this document, how important this information is. So I want to make sure that I emphasize that this time. And as a jumping off point, I think chapter 4 and chapter 5 were a couple of the big ones. You know, chapter 1, the imperative to transform. That's kind of interesting. Why is it imperative? Reminds me of the document that got the PNAC in trouble. Project for a New American Century. Remember that? Rebuilding America's Defenses. Similar verbiage. We'll get into that after the break here on the other side of this break. So stick around for that more right after this break.
Because you can handle the truth.
Hi. My name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back.
So I'm going to dive into this document a little bit, as I said, and some of this language is crazy. We'll go to the phones in a moment here, but I just to kind of prime the pump a little bit. You know, this is the military. It's the army that we're talking about here. And you look at some of the subheadings in these chapters, and it's very clear. Chapter one, titled "The Imperative to Transform a Joint Culture," is one of the subheadings. An expeditionary culture, the Army Transformation Framework. That's an interesting model that you can look at. There are visual representations of that. Chapter 2, the Army is a member of the joint force. That doesn't sound strange, because sure, there's more than one military force, you know, and that makes sense. But when you start to get into this international scope, that's weird. Isn't that weird? Which is part of the reason that I always point to the Congressional Research Service document, RL 33627, titled NATO in Afghanistan, a test of the Transatlantic Alliance. NATO in Afghanistan, a test of the Transatlantic Alliance. Why is that important? Well, because you read that document, and in this context, you get a very international scope. You know, we're testing the machinations of internationalists, and this is just another, you know, part of the initiative, another arm of this initiative to first expand forces so that you can identify resources and capabilities and things like that. You following me? I mean, you expand so that you can – it's confusing. Like I said when I mentioned The Hard Road to World Order, published April 1974 in the Foreign Affairs Journal, Counts on Foreign Relations publication by Richard N. Gardner. That piece was in Volume 52, Number 3. I mentioned Richard N. Gardner's words, quoting William James, this great booming, buzzing confusion. That's part of the reason for expansion and proliferation. But the other is to identify resources, right? You want to create these new initiatives. It's kind of like brainstorming. Okay, what can we create? What can we do? What can we do? You know, you start creating these things, and then you get a good understanding of what's possible. What are the capabilities here? What resources do we have? What are we capable of? After these cycles of iteration, if you will. And then from there, you can pare down to meet your objective. You can pare down to get in line with your agenda, which is a very highly leveraged initiative. That's what really is behind the Army After Next and Army 21 initiative. Highly leveraged, tightly knit, highly efficient military operations that are not just represented by the military. Meaning you have, I mean, aren't we seeing in America, can't we see the Interpol effect in America with DHS taking over policing duties and, you know, what has happened since gun battle, you know, that's been sensationalized and TV movies, made for TV movies have been made about it and stuff. You know, the guys that were covered in body armor from like head to foot and shoot out with, you know, police. Now all of a sudden we need riot gear for meter maids and stuff. It's just ridiculous and absurd, you know, and you see these videos circulating, you know, police are shot all the time and stuff. I don't know where you live, but, you know, that doesn't happen or didn't used to happen in our sleepy little bedroom community. These days it's getting pretty crazy. I mentioned in a Facebook post earlier this week that I hear sirens in our little bedroom community. This is a community that is host to one of the top 50 golf destination resorts in the country. And we hear sirens at least once or twice a day in this town. And they're not ambulance and fire truck stuff, if you know what I'm talking about. So what has happened? And it's all in conjunction with this stuff. So anyway, this highly efficient, tightly knit force that has leverage. I mentioned two terms in the January 29th broadcast, the force multiplier effect and asymmetric warfare. Those are two examples of how the system takes advantage of that kind of leverage. But when you look at this document, the transformation roadmap, chapter 4, future combat systems, is very insightful. Future force and future combat systems, when you look at those, and then chapter 5, those are the two places that I would focus on. Chapter 5, transforming army space, transforming intelligence, special operations forces integration with conventional forces, and you have this very open admission that, hey, we're working with intelligence, we're working with these groups, and we're going to create this proliferation, and then we're going to pare down. And you can see it in the visual representations in the report. I mean, they show you, look, expansion and then contraction. And that's what we're seeing play out right now. And it's a system that's going to get more tyrannical as time goes on. But like I said, you know, future combat systems, it's all the stuff that, you know, you've heard about on this network. You've definitely heard about on this broadcast. When I talk about the DARPA technology stuff, in particular, that ties into this report directly. Jumping to chapter 4. Actually, I'm going to wait on that. Let's go to the phones real quick and before we burn any more time. Let's grab Ken in Virginia real quick. Ken, thanks for calling in. Welcome.
Yeah, Chris, we've just had spectacular – I'm president of Virginia Taxpayers Association. We've had spectacular success in beating the governor on this terrible National Defense Authorization Act. This is of interest not only to your listeners but to everybody all across the country. What we did is we got the Virginia House of Delegates, Courts of Justice Committee to approve unanimously all 16 to nothing, both Democrats, both Republicans and Democrats, a resolution preventing the enforcement in Virginia of any by any agency or a person or military National Guard of this of the provisions of the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, the which is, as all your listeners know, that's the one that permits the detainment without without a warrant, without trial, without a sentence, indefinitely, when and with torture of any American citizen who may happen to oppose any anything that the Obama administration does. Now, the reason this has a national aspect because, as you know, as everybody knows, Ron Paul is the only candidate, Republican candidate, who is opposed. He said he would do away with NDAA, which of course he should. And the best Republican that we've got in the House of Delegates, Bob Marshall, who's running against in for U.S. Senate against traitor U.S. Republican George Allen for U.S. Senate in Virginia. He's the sponsor of this bill, House Bill 1160. And you can look it up on the Internet and the General Assembly webpage, the provisions of the bill. Now, and it's going to pass the full House, and it's going to pass the full Senate. And McDonnell has opposed this bill in the sub-general courts of justice subcommittee because he's endorsing Romney, who has said he would have signed the NDA. Of course, that's terrible. We know Romney's a traitor. But now we see that Governor McDonnell is a Republican. He's going to have to sign this bill, which he doesn't want to do, because even though he's very popular, according to a new Quinnipiac poll, his popularity has reached new heights. But he can't afford to have been hit by the wave that would result if he vetoed the bill. So this is an absolutely spectacular development, and it ties in with the victories that that Ron Paul is having. And I think maybe many of your listeners know that Ron Paul is absolutely certain to get more delegates out of Maine than Romney. My daughter lives up there, and she knows one county, a large county, Washington County, didn't even participate in the poll, and there was only 200 votes separating them. So, and the way they got the system rigged, that the Romney, the Ron Paul people will be in command of the state convention, which will actually apportion the delegates to the GOP National Convention. So we're winning that. We're gonna win in Arizona. We're gonna win in Tennessee, and certainly and likely in other states. Super Tuesday. So this is tremendous. And of course, Bob Marshall is a supporter of Ron Paul. So we're all working together in this, and it's of tremendous significance. And where whatever state you live in, you can get your state legislature to do the same thing, a null enforcement in your state of the NDAA. It's already been signed into law surreptitiously by Obama on January 31st, 2011, but he didn't make any announcement. He was ashamed of signing, or he didn't want it to be noticed. But we can
I don't know. I don't know if he was ashamed of it. He seems to be perfectly infatuated with himself and his rock star status. I don't want to steal your thunder, though. Ken, I applaud your guys' efforts, especially with the NDAA stuff. But I do want to mention, and I always want to be clear about this, I still think, even though, you know, there's this go-around, there's a lot of talk about the Ron Paul stuff, and I still think people need to, you know, put on their thinking cap. You know, there's too much alternative Kool-Aid out there, and bad guys like Ron Paul, too. And that should some bad guys. That should get us scratching our heads. Peter Thiel is one guy that I mentioned. You know, co-founder of PayPal, the creator, founder of Clarion Capital, which gave Facebook its first $500 million, its first half billion in venture capital. And he's over at Founders Fund, and I've talked a lot about the stuff they're doing over there. But you can look Peter Thiel up on Wikipedia and find that he's a member. He's listed as a member of Bilderberg Group, which I think is passe, as what's his name, the Canadian, says. It's kind of an old boys club now. But he's listed as a member of Bilderberg Group right on Wikipedia. And he also, they have on the Wikipedia entry his endorsement of Ron Paul back in 2007, and Peter Thiel is hands down one of the most virulent strains of bad guyism, particularly in economics and technological, you know, disruption, the disruptive innovation that I've talked about in recent weeks and months. This is like the epicenter of that, and he openly endorses Ron Paul for president. So we need to be careful about that kind of stuff and make sure that we're still putting on our thinking caps and not just playing into this parallel operation and the same initiative that I was talking about with regard to the Army After Next and Army 21 stuff. So
I agree, we got to be vigilant, but we have to. I think we have to creep it one step at a time, and this is a step, I think, in the right direction. As long as we stay vigilant, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I don't worship Ron Paul, but this is a success anyway. I don't care.
I agree. And like I said, I'm not trying to steal any thunder there. I appreciate your call on the information, Ken. I think it's fantastic. So
yeah. Okay. I'll let you go. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for the information. It's good. I mean, it's a boost of encouragement. It's a shot in the arm, and I think, you know, hopefully, really, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully we're all starting to think for ourselves. It's so easy just to go along with a propaganda machine, the Wurlitzer, if you will, that has so fabulously and deliciously scripted everything, all of the talking points for all of the sides of every argument, in, you know, using the Rand Corporation's model of incorporating crowdsourcing with game theory, and you come up with this recipe that is just perfect. The sound bites, the talking points of every issue are always perfectly scripted. you can move an initiative down a very specific track in, you know, scientific fashion with military precision. Literally, I mean, these guys know exactly what's going to happen. You look at the kinds of things that, I mean, just go to Founders Fund, for example. And I just mentioned Founders Fund and Peter Thiel. Go over there and look at what they're doing over there. People have no idea. You know, when you look at technology, for example, foundersfund.com, you know, the place that houses the billionaire wunderkind, you know, the billionaire kid genius VC think tank is what it really is. And they're spinning off these little organizations, $10, $15, $20 million per idea, like nobody's business. We'll go back to the phones and more when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Inflammation can cause pain and makes getting around a lot harder. Through injuries or just old age, it's important to use anti-inflammatories, but the natural way. You need relief. You need GDU. Daniel Chapter 1's GDU is an all-natural anti-inflammatory, a proteolytic enzyme that has helped thousands of people stop taking COX-2 inhibitors. They're deadly, can cause liver failure and kidney failure, just to name a couple side effects. GDU has been for years one of Daniel Chapter 1's customers' star products. Try all-natural GDU and feel the difference. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Get GDU, the natural anti-inflammatory. Use promo code 300A for a discount. That's promo code 300A. Call 800-504-5511 and get your GDU today.
Back. We're going to go back to the phones in a second. I said I was going to concentrate on this document, and I feel like I'm being verbose around it, but not in it. So I'm going to touch on this. We'll go to the phones, and that will probably take us out. So Let me just go to chapter 4 real quick. I mentioned chapter 4 previously. Chapter 4 titled Future Combat Systems. Now, you can argue, well, you know, some of what you're saying sounds conjectural in nature. I mean, are you just making this stuff up? Listen to this language right from the beginning of chapter 4 of this military document, 2004 Army Transformation Roadmap. Again, this is the military in its own words. Future force, the primary goal. Okay, listen, the whole document, what is this initiative about? The primary goal of Army transformation is the development of the future force. And the future is now, let me assure you, retrospect. Anyway, the primary goal of Army transformation is the development of the future force, a strategically responsive precision maneuver force that is dominant across the range of military operations, the world over, you might add. Oh, but you're making that up. No, listen. Continuing. Balanced across a mix of light, medium, and heavy formations and optimized for strategic versatility, this lighter and more agile force, there you have it, lighter and more agile force will dominate land operations in any future conflict. Notice, not just domestic, not just whatever, dominate land operations. But where? Well, listen. Keep listening. Continuing, it will also perform seamless transitions from peacetime readiness to small-scale contingencies or major theater warfare. You hear that? This is why I'm saying it's just this all-time, you know, Interpol meets Blackwater kind of concept. The ultimate measure, listen to this, the ultimate measure of success of the future force, therefore, will be its contribution to future joint operations. Let's clarify, in concert with interagency and multinational partners. There you have it, interagency and multinational partners. Very clear, okay? Lighter and more agile force, success measured by its contribution to future operations, future joint operations in concert with interagency and multinational partners. In keeping with it, this fundamental guideline, the force is being designed to sharply expand, see? Sharply expand the options. This is why I say we've seen proliferation. Now we're seeing contraction, which corresponds with the versatility this lighter and more agile force will have. Just right here in the report. Designed to sharply expand the options available to the joint force, whether that is to swiftly defeat the efforts of regional aggressors. Regional. Hear that? Win decisively in extended conflict or execute lesser contingency operations, you know, like when you're a financial terrorist because you wrote a bad check at your local bank. That's coming to a neighborhood near you. Uh-oh, I hear the music. It says the future force concept is founded on six main operational themes. Read it for yourself. This is crazy stuff. And then if you go to the beginning of chapter 5, I'm going to have to apologize. We didn't get back to the phones. And you read about the technology and the hardwiring to the intelligence community and the international relations. It's a frightening thing. Is this America still? No. It's unfortunate. Anyway, I hope it was informative. I hope you get yourself a copy of that. Thanks, Ken, for your call. Mike, I'm sorry we didn't get to you last. Folks, as always, it's an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
The next round.